Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You
know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. All right, it is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Wednesday morning as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home? Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Let's get to it. Third hour. Here we go. The three.
It is now time for The Three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
The Rays force a Game 5 versus the Astros.
That's it. As Kevin Cash said after the Game 3 victory, we're gonna bullpen their blank. I mean, and that's exactly what the Tampa Bay Rays did yesterday. At home at the Trop. Good crowd last 2 days for Games 3, afternoon affair, Game 4, night affair last night. Game got going shortly after 7 o'clock Eastern time, Taz. They win the game 4-1. Verlander on 3 days rest. No good for A.J. Hinch and the Stros as he struggled through a lot of pitches in 4 2/3 innings of work for him, leaving the game having given up 4 hits and I believe 6 runs. The Rays were good offensively as well, as now we've got a big Game 5. Gerrit Cole back at Houston Thursday night.
Yeah, listen, you see it all the time, man. For years and years in sports, you know, momentum's a huge, huge thing. And right now, that momentum, that drive, that exuberance is on the Tampa Bay Rays side. And we'll see if they can keep rolling this wave right now. They've had for the past 2 days at home in front of a building that, in front of people at a building that usually it's kind of a dead audience and not a real great place to watch a baseball game and all this jazz. But, man, I'll tell you what, they got momentum. Two victories that I didn't expect to happen. To see the Astros now with a plethora of pressure on them in this Game 5 situation as the Yankees just sit, rested, waiting, chilling out to see who they're going to play. So let's see if the momentum can keep on rolling for the Rays. If that happens and they go down to Houston now on Thursday and the Rays come up with that victory, well, then you're going to have your Yanks against the Rays. So I don't know. I got a feeling that the momentum is going to stop once they get down to Texas, to Houston. Yeah. I do, but I've been saying that the past 2 days while they're in Tampa that I thought the Astros would win. But
yeah, I didn't think they'd get. I'm in agreement with you. I didn't think we'd see a Game 5 in this series, but a Game 5 nonetheless. And that momentum stopper can be just all you have to look at is Gerrit Cole, right? Mr. Double-Digit Strikeout Machine, I think 19, 20 times during the course of the year. I mean, it's just been 300-plus Ks over the course of the regular season, had a remarkable year. He comes back home. But even if they win that game, Taz, I mean, it's a benefit to the Yankees because that rotation is not going to be set up for game one of the ALCS on Saturday night. And if you're the Rays and you're able to, all the pressure in the world is going to be on the Stros. They're home, yes. They've got Cole, who I believe is going to win the Cy Young in the American League. If the Rays are able to ever jump out on Houston,
right.
That lineup for the Stros, as we talked about, I mean, Tampa Bay had how many hits last night? 13?
13 hits.
I mean, Houston, that lineup looks lifeless at times for all the stars that they have in that lineup. I'd be a little concerned, especially if the Rays were able ever to jump out on top of Cole 2-0.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, maybe you start to see that Astros team press a little bit because they've got a lot of pressure on them to get to the ALCS.
Yeah, they do. And you were talking earlier about some of the guys like Bregman, guys like Springer, guys like Altuve. I mean, they're bats. I mean, it's not you don't have they're not hitting the ball like crazy here. I mean, they're not. I mean, just you get 6 hits in this game yesterday. I mean, so it's you're getting your offense is kind of like ugh. It's
not great.
You got to fix that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Pressure's on, though. You're right.
Yeah. Here is Kevin Cash. Let's hear from the winners first here, Taz. Here's Kevin Cash, the Rays manager, on the game plan last night.
We knew going in that we were going to try to get the ideal matchups for everybody. We weren't going to let anybody face the same pitcher twice. But the pitchers were just unbelievable how they executed pitches. And it just kind of laid into the next reliever that came into the ballgame.
Oh, no doubt about that. How about Travis d'Arnaud on his lineup, on the Rays lineup, getting to Verlander?
We were just getting good pitches to hit. He was falling behind in counts, and we were getting in some leverage counts, and we were able to capitalize. I mean, those three runs in the first inning was huge for us, especially knowing how great of a pitcher he is, and to score three runs against him is huge.
Oh, he did a very, very good job. They certainly did that Rays lineup as six different relievers as well, was able to close out that 4-1 victory. How about for Verlander? Three and two-thirds, seven hits, four runs allowed, five strikeouts, through 84 pitches in 3 2/3 innings of work. Here's the stud righty for the Stros.
Really good approach for those guys in the first. And then, you know, honestly, I need those infield singles to be caught. When you don't have it, you need the balls that are put in play on the ground to go your way. And they didn't.
Yeah, they certainly did not. And for A.J. Hinch, he said his team will be ready for Game 5 Thursday night.
This is why you play. I mean, obviously, we would have loved to have won a game here. We didn't. We have home field. We're going home. We have another opportunity. So, and we have Gerrit Cole on the mound, and we have an incredible lineup. So, sure, I like that we've been there before, but I haven't liked any elimination game. I mean, it's no fun to go through. You like to eliminate when you have an opportunity.
Yeah, and they had two opportunities, Taz, and fell short in both of them down in Tampa on the road. Now they go back home. That crowd's going to be off the charts great.
Yeah,
but,
yep.
And no one expected Tampa to be here. No one expected Tampa to force a game five.
Right.
And Tampa could go into that game, and they've got no pressure on them. If they lose, everyone expects them to lose.
Sure.
But if they're able to find a way to win, it'll be one of the, you know, bigger upsets we've seen in quite some time.
I don't, I'm not involved with sports betting. But I'll tell you, if I was, this is when I'd put the farm on the Astros. I just really believe that this is it.
Yeah, they're going to be a huge favorite. I think the Rays were plus 220 and the Stros were minus 260.
Mm.
So that means you got to lay 260 to win 100. If you bet 100 on the Rays, you got 220 back for that 100. So
we'll
see what happens and where those odds are tomorrow night. We got two game fives as well later on tonight.
Yeah.
Today, 5 o'clock, first one, out in down in Atlanta between the Cards and the Braves, and a nightcap, an absolute doozy. It's going to be a fun one out in Los Angeles between the Dodgers and Nationals with Walker Buehler and Strasburg, your pitching matchup.
It'll be a little rough. I'm going to watch the St. Louis at Atlanta game at 5 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to try and bounce back and forth. I want to watch my Dodgers, but I got a little AEW wrestling on tonight on TNT at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Yes.
So, Plug Jones. Yeah, I'm going to watch that. So, I'm going to be honest with him. Just letting you know. I'll give you a breakdown, at the Taz Show on the podcast, not here. So,
we can't talk about it here?
Well, we can, but I mean, there's going to be a lot to talk about. So, I can't give, full detail. You got to go to the Taz Show
for that. Detail,
you got to go to the Taz Show.
I understand that. We don't have to go full detail, but I mean, I could ask you if you like the show or not.
What if I said to you, you got to go to download the show, mooseheadradio.com or Apple Podcasts, the Taz Show.
Okay, then you could say that if you'd like.
No, I wouldn't say that. If you ask me that question tomorrow, I will answer.
Okay, thank you, Taz.
I'm just saying, I can be a little long-winded at times. You know,
so. I understand. We're not going to go match-to-match breakdown
no.
and take what you do away from what you do on the Taz Show. But, yeah, AEW certainly last week generated a huge audience.
Yeah.
And we'll see what they do for an encore here. Later on tonight will be a fun one, but I do have a double dip in baseball. If that tickles the toes as well.
You're going to watch a little wrestling, or you're not going to be able to? You're going to probably watch the baseball game.
No, I'm going to be over at SNY, so I'll be able to have both TVs on.
Nice.
You got
a green room with a bunch of TVs? Fancy.
There's a green room with one TV, but we have a desk, so we'll have a cubicle there. So
what about the snacks?
A couple TV.
You got a little snacks?
They're there. End of the night, it's a little barren because people ravage the snacks.
Who's the biggest, glutton, the hog of all the food and the snacks that stuffs them in their briefcase? Like who?
Oh, I don't. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not monitoring the snack.
Which ex-Met is like the biggest,
Definitely Zeal.
Oh, Zeal. No, Zeal's very healthy eating.
Oh.
Very clean. Zeal is a big fan of it, those bowls with the tuna in it.
Poke.
Poke Bowl, yeah.
There's a
great place right downstairs in the, the Oculus.
Really?
And we work at Four World Trade Center.
Yeah.
And so one of the and right down the Oculus, which is the new transportation hub subway, there's a place called, I think it's called Fresh Catch.
Okay.
In a little spot.
Nice.
And they have great salmon and great tuna.
Tuna, right? Yeah.
And they put it with a little spicy sauce and jalapenos, and it's very, very good.
A lot of times it's a Hawaiian spicy sauce.
They have a Hawaiian bowl, too.
Yeah, there you go.
They have a Hawaiian bowl. They have a, you can get a spicy tuna or spicy salmon. You can get the a Hawaiian bowl with salmon, too. You can get a mix. You can get noodles, you can get rice, you can get it all.
We have a bunch of them on Long Island. This one I go, Island Poke. Mikey B, big into poke. We had a chat offline about this in Hawaii.
Yeah, we had a riveting conversation about the poke bowl.
That's right.
And how delicious it is in Hawaii, obviously, because the fish is very fresh there.
But that market there, that in Hawaii, I don't remember where in Hawaii you are, they're now in the north. What's the name of it?
Fresh Catch was the name of the spot.
I thought
there.
It was a different spot.
But maybe we're crossing up our poke message.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of conversations, you and I. Mikey B might be on the Taz show. There's breaking news today. Might have an audio clip of Mikey B on the Taz show today.
Nice.
That's going to drop today. That's going to record today. Afternoon Drive Jones, that'll drop.
There you go. Very nice.
Plugging away today.
Thank you. Yeah. Let me know the time.
Well, it's not going to be, just so you understand, he's not going to come on. And Mike, I should let you know.
You're playing an audio clip.
Well, he might come on. Yes, I said clip because when I say clip, it's my nice way of letting Mike know you're not coming on for like a 30-minute segment. Okay, this is like just a little clip. Come on, we'll put the stopwatch on, 30 seconds. That's it.
Maybe get as much in as possible. I'll be ready to roll.
Put you on for a few minutes. Pete the Body had an opportunity like this too, Moose, and he passed.
Oh.
Well, he didn't send the audio.
He was busy.
To my producer.
He didn't send it.
He didn't. Right, Pete? Remember that? Remember that part?
That is correct.
Yeah. All right.
I'll make up for it.
All right.
Yeah, you will.
All right, next.
Number two.
Video shows Baker Mayfield shaking Richard Sherman's hand.
Wow.
Right. Yes, it does. After Sherman made a big deal about it after the Monday night victory, dominant 31-3 by the 49ers over the Browns, Sherman talked about the fact, went on social media that Mayfield did not shake his hand at the coin toss, and video comes out yesterday that he did. A number of different videos. I saw one, Taz referenced a couple others that he saw on ESPN as well. Now Sherman's got some explaining to do. Now he's saying it was a petty handshake. Listen, why lie about it? You know, Mayfield gets a positive rub off of it. Sherman looks like a low class maroon for calling it out and lying about it. I don't know exactly where to go from here. Where does it go from here? I think Sherman looks terrible. For Baker Mayfield, we'll see when he does address the media, when he get asked this question, if he cuts it off at the knees, learns from previous mistakes, or he adds more fuel to the fire. And if you're a betting man, you'd probably bet on the fact that he adds more fuel to the fire because that just seems to be the Mayfield way.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about this earlier, right? It's kind of confusing. Like, we don't understand why, like, he did this. And then yesterday, like, when you brought it up, I'm like, and I had a hot take on this. And I went off on Mayfield. How dare you? Who are you? This guy's a great player. I have no respect. What the hell's wrong with you? You've won nothing. I'm reading Richard Sherman's tweets. You suck. You dummy. You silly man. You Baker Mayfield. And next thing you know, Baker Mayfield did shake his hand. So, you know, next time. We will, as a unit here on the show, we will make sure before we have hot takes that we have facts.
Well, the video wasn't out.
True.
I mean, so we went off what we went off on, and, I'm not watching the pregame handshake. I wasn't at Levi Stadium, so we took somebody at their word. I guess it's a lesson here. Don't believe everything you hear.
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing. Why would Sherman lie? I mean, he's the only one that can answer. Maybe he doesn't remember it. Maybe he's used to guys shaking his hand after the coin toss and was bothered that Mayfield ran away. Maybe I don't know. Only he can look at it. He's looking to move on. A guy that created the firestorm is now looking to move on.
Yeah,
so
he's embarrassed. He looks like an idiot.
Well, that's it.
You know, and the thing is, like, maybe it was a thing that maybe Baker gave him fish hand. You know fish hand, right?
Yes.
Like sloppy ass handshake. Fish hand Jones.
Yeah.
Like a flounder.
Yes.
Maybe he did that and just looked at him like uninspired. And meanwhile, Richard Sherman was hugging all the other guys on the Browns.
Yeah, right. Well, this isn't a job interview, as I mentioned earlier. You know, you're not going to be judged based on the grip of your hand or whether or not it's dry or wet from nerves. I mean, this is a case of, you know, before the game, it was kind of, it wasn't your traditional handshake. There wasn't an embrace. Guys weren't looking lovingly into each other's eyes. This was a case of put the hand out there and move on to the next guy. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. But the hand was extended by Mayfield. And that's all you need to do.
You're right. We got another one?
Yes.
Number three.
Sam Darnold cleared to play Sunday versus the Cowboys.
He is. So, positive diagnosis. Mono has knocked him out the last last month for Sam Darnold. After their week one loss against the Buffalo Bills, Taz. The spleen, it is now fine. The swelling is down, no longer inflamed. He could take contact. He's no longer just throwing the football and non-contact drills. He'll be back under center for the Jets as they take on the Cowboys 4:25 on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. That's good. It's good. It's good for this kid to get back on the field and do what he does. And, you know, thank God he's good from it and he's cleared. I'm sure you got to stay on those antibiotics. That's the key. You got to stay on those antibiotics all the way to the end. You know me, I'm not a doctor. I just play one on the radio,
yes,
as the expression goes.
But yeah.
So, yeah, no, hey, listen, it's a weird thing that a guy this age gets mono. A lot of people get it once they're, like, in high school. The kissing disease, as some call it, or sickness. I can't remember, you know, what the
I think it's kissing disease.
Kissing disease,
right?
Yeah.
Kissing, right.
Whatever.
Swapping of saliva.
Yeah, make out jokes.
Whatever you want. Right. Not sharing cups, making out, tongue kissing, whatever it might be. Whatever your fancy is, that's how you can get mono.
Sure.
He got it at 22, 23 years of age. You're right. Usually it's something that affects you when you're a teenager.
Correct.
Right. And you're exploring your boundaries.
Yeah, one way to put it. Yes. So, yeah. So there we go. Go Jets. JTS. Jets.
He's back. Now we'll see what Adam Gase does with a quarterback under center. The offensive line is still a massive issue for the Jets, as we've seen here through the first, you know, 4 or 5 weeks of the NFL regular season. They'll get Chris Herndon, their talented tight end, back from a 4-game suspension. He'll play this week. Gase's offense has been the worst statistically in the NFL, but he's also been playing with a third-string quarterback. Now let's see what that offense does and how improved they are. If the line doesn't improve, Taz, I don't know how much better that offense is going to be because they've been dreadful.
I know. It's a massive problem, and you see that in the NFL. Like, there's teams that either have a strong offensive line or don't. There's like almost no in between,
yeah,
you know. And the Jets are in that convo right there with a weaker offensive line. They're a home dog, I believe, too, right?
Rightfully
plus 7
so
with the Cowboys. Yeah,
yeah, rightfully so. As the Cowboys have lost 2 straight now, looking to get themselves to 4-2 after back-to-back losses against the Saints and the Packers. So there you have it. Your 3 big headlines here on this Wednesday morning. Darnold back for the Jets. The handshake that Richard Sherman forgot between him and Baker Mayfield. And then, obviously, you've got Game 5's galore in Major League Baseball. As the Rays force a Game 5 Thursday night down in Houston, you got 2 of them today and tonight as the Braves entertain the Cardinals and the Dodgers entertain the Washington Nationals out there in Chavez Ravine. It's Melusis, it's Taz. It's Taz and the Moose on a Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. On a Wednesday morning, as we roll right up until the top of the hour, download that podcast each and every day. Radio.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. Taz is going to be dropping a new Taz Show podcast later on this afternoon. Woo! Check that out as well.
Yeah.
Bogus is in the house. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Moose. Hey, Taz.
Hello.
Good morning.
The Houston Asterps, as I wrote in my script, went 0-2, trying to close out the Rays in Tampa Bay. Starting Justin Verlander on short rest in Game 4 last night didn't work. 3 2/3, 4 runs, 7 hits. 3 of those runs came in the very first inning.
Once I got out there, pretty quickly realized the control just wasn't where I would like with the fastball, and then the slider was just kind of spinning all night, really. I wasn't doing a whole lot.
So
how
is
about
that
the yellow towels?
It's a little bit.
I got a problem with that.
Of course you do.
I have a problem with that, what they're doing in Tampa Bay. Okay, I understand they got that little Starburst gimmick in their logo, and it's gold, athletic gold.
It's a ray of sunshine.
Yes.
I didn't think of that, but got it. Okay, so I have a problem because it's a complete hack job on the Pittsburgh Steelers fan base and the terrible towel. Complete hack job. When Verlander's coming off the mound, they take him out of the game. They're doing the towels. They're clapping, going crazy. It's annoying because it shouldn't be yellow because it looks like the Pittsburgh Steelers do. The fan base. Hello? Anybody paying attention?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, no, what color would you like it to be?
Blue. Their colors are blue and gold. It's like a navy blue, right? And like a royal blue.
And a light blue. Like a sky blue.
And a sky blue or Columbia blue, they might call it.
They could. That's true.
That's true.
I think it's Pantone 211.
212.
Oh, sorry.
So the thing is, you could do that, Moose. Maybe a baby blue, Carolina blue,
yeah, you could
Columbia
do that.
Blue.
Doesn't the yellow cut through a little bit more, though?
But it's been done for decades by the Pittsburgh Steelers fan base. Hey, listen, Mike, you're big involved with the Steel City. You know that. Your wife and all.
Oh, yeah, the terrible towel.
Am I right or wrong? Did you see what they did with
that? That's a little bit of a hack of the terrible towel.
It is. Come on, man. Am I the only observant person in this company?
It's not as bad as what the Ravens did.
Yes, you're the only observant person in this company.
I mean, I noticed these things. And why is it so freaking hot in here right now?
It's not warm in here.
It is.
It's like 67 degrees.
Feeling the pressure of your towel take.
Yes. Yes, that's it.
Maybe you need a towel.
We'll wipe you off.
Yeah.
Towel. You will do nothing of the sort, Mike. You will wipe nothing on me or off me. So listen, here's the thing. They should not be using athletic gold towels. I just wanted to say that on the radio here, and that's my.
Even though they have gold in their kind of.
Dude, you got to search for the gold. It's the starburst on
the
jersey.
It's right on the back of the mound.
The mound. I'm not looking at the mound. I'm looking at their uniforms. It's on the font under the Rays logo.
I get it.
It's the starburst.
Yeah,
thing.
Right. And I'm that starburst is on the back of the mound.
It's a tiny part of
so their nobody, color. Nobody can use the gold or yellow towels.
I believe in originality, and the Pittsburgh Steelers and their fan base did it first.
The first. I don't disagree with you there.
So why would you copy them?
What about a yellow pom-pom?
Nothing yellow.
So the Steelers have copyrighted yellow.
The color yellow.
It's pretty obvious I can't cut through to either of you what I'm trying to say.
No, you can cut through.
Well, I'm trying
if I don't agree.
It's a little annoying. Because what I'm trying to say, because this is my observations are on point. Yo, guys. Their main colors are the blues, athletic gold.
So maybe light blue would have worked as a towel.
Then I'd have no problem. There'd be no topic.
But the navy blue wouldn't have looked good. It would have been too dark. You need the light spark.
Now, what would you say the Mets' main colors are?
Blue and orange. Royal blue and orange.
Okay.
Next.
So when they were in 06, when it was the when Beltran struck out to Wainwright and the Cardinals marched on to the World Series, right? That game is sitting at Chase Stadium that night with my dad. They made an announcement, you know, we're about to go on the airwaves, get the towels out. What color towels were the Met fans waving at Citi Field that night?
Orange.
No.
Yellow.
No.
Red.
Nope.
Green.
Nope.
Blue.
Nope.
Black.
Nope.
White.
White.
All right, but white's visible.
Well, that's interesting. I get your point. I like the quiz on the colors. Thanks for that.
But that is not their main color scheme.
But hold on a second, sir. That's now your example went from good to bad.
How did
because,
it go to bad?
Because, okay, they're at Shea. Their home uniform, they're wearing their whites, their pinstripe. They were probably wearing the pinstripes. With the royal blue pinstripes.
I think actually in that game they were wearing the non-pinstripe.
Yeah, which is even more white. There's no pinstripe in it. So you did the setup where you said, okay, here's the deal. Here's the deal. What color is the Mets uniform, the main colors? And I said, like a sucker, royal blue and orange. I never said the color white. Okay, but no one other, to come back at you on your point, no other sports team that I can remember, I'm sure it's been done, but I can't, anyone that staples using a white towel, waving a white towel, shaking the white towel. Can you think of it? I can't.
Well, I mean, they do it in college all the time. Penn State does it all the time.
Well, they do a white out. That's a different thing.
They're waving the white. Not only are they wearing the white shirts, but they're waving the white pom-poms or white towel. I'm just bringing up an example of teams that don't necessarily use the main color. And, yes, they have white in their uniform because they're home, but their main color is blue and orange.
Right, correct. Of course. I have tons of Mets stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it for you that you don't know. I'm just saying the very fact of a team in that game and, you know, they made sure that those towels were handed out to everybody, and those towels were being waved left and right. I mean, I get it. I just think for them, it probably in a place that's got lacks little to no life. I mean, it's kind of like you're playing in a dungeon when you're playing at the Trop. You needed something to kind of break through.
I understand.
A bit.
It don't have to be yellow. Look, you know what 1975 is?
A year?
That's right. It's the year. Good job. It's a year that the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, started the terrible towel.
I'm not disagreeing with you that they didn't start the terrible towel.
I feel like you are disagreeing with something on this topic. I don't know why you're not seeing their colors are not gold.
I don't have. Why can't the I mean, the Rays have won nothing.
You want me to give them something because they've won nothing.
No, I don't want to give them anything. They've got to go out there and earn it. I just didn't bother me as much as it bothered you. That's all.
I'm really upset over it, and I think it's wrong.
I can tell you're bothered.
And then you go to my Met fandom, and you go to my team, and now you bring that up because you were sitting there, and now you're bringing that up because they were waving white towels, which I got to be honest, I didn't remember they were waving white towels, which is stupid of them, because what does a white towel mean when you wave it? Then you give up!
Well, they were, come on. I don't think everyone's reading all that much into it, but it was not using the color scheme.
I'm just saying, the wave white towels?
Yeah.
That means you give up.
Yes, wave the white flag. Correct.
And what does it mean when you wave a white flag at NASCAR? Exactly.
Well, it's the second to last lap.
Race is almost over.
That's right. I just want to make sure you guys knew that.
I knew that.
I knew it too.
Correct.
Do they
do a white and green flag? Is that what they do?
Green flag, I think.
Before the checkered flag.
That might be. They have a lot of weird details.
Does that mean the restart of the race where there's the three lap after?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go.
Thank you.
I didn't like the towel.
No more yellow towels for the Rays, for Taz.
If I was running the public relations or whatever you call it there with the Tampa Bay Rays, I'd be like, this is an outrage. This Pittsburgh Steelers do this.
Well, if you were running it, it wouldn't have ever happened in the first place.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Right. So the Rays did win the game last night in spite of their towels, 4-1, forcing a Game 5 tomorrow night in Houston. The Yankees waiting in the ALCS. Game 1 is Saturday, either in Houston or with the Rays going to the Bronx. Yankee closer Aroldis Chapman hurt his hand during Monday night celebration in Minnesota, apparently hit by a champagne bottle. He's expected to work out with his teammates today. Then it's Game 5 in Atlanta and in L.A., the Braves and Cardinals at 5:02 Eastern with Mike Foltynewicz and Jack Flaherty on the mound. Walker Buehler and Steven Strasburg start for the Dodgers and Nationals at 5:37 Pacific. The cancellations continue in China, with the government still pretty angry at Rockets GM Daryl Morey for tweeting his support of Hong Kong protesters last week. Media availability with the Lakers and Nets canceled today. That was ahead of their preseason games in the country later this week. Signs for those games being taken down today in Shanghai also canceled a Lakers community event, but the games still scheduled to be played at the moment. Last night in Philadelphia, the Sixers won their preseason game with the Guangzhou Long Lions, 144-86. As mentioned back in our first hour, Ben Simmons hit his first three-pointer ever in an NBA uniform.
I mean, I work every day, so to me it's like, you know, shows. I'm in the gym every day putting in work, so I mean, I feel like it's paying off.
Simmons missed his first 19 threes, counting the preseason,
regular
season,
spot, too. I think they were only up 30 at the time.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, he was smart enough not to take them, so now he's trying to knock a few down. The last time he hit a three-pointer in an even relatively official game, he was still at LSU. It was November of 2015. He went almost 4 years between three-pointers.
At least he's working on his game.
I don't like to say things like this, but I feel like I would have found myself open for a three-pointer, and I would have hit it had I played a full NBA schedule for 4 years.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Thank you, Moose, for your support. Knicks forward Marcus Morris not expected to be punished for bopping wizard Justin Anderson on the head with the ball during Monday night's game. On ice last night, the Carolina Hurricanes are 4-0 after a 6-3 win in Florida. That's their first regulation victory this season. The first three came in a shootout and twice in overtime. And the Connecticut Sun beat the Washington Mystics 90-86. So the WNBA Finals are going the distance. Game 5 in Washington tomorrow night.
Guys, Deladon play in that game?
She did not play as well as she did back in game 3. Only, I think, 11 points last night.
We come back. The Flyers, they're adding a room to the Wells Fargo Center. We'll explain what room they are adding, and we got the undercard for you as well. It's Taz and the Moose here on a Wednesday morning. We got the towels out. We're waving them. White, yellow, red, black, blue, what have you. Right here on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
This is Justin Tuck, two-time Super Bowl champion with the New York Giants, and you listen to Taz and the Moose.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. This question is from Josh down in Baltimore. Moose, you're in on the all-in on the Redskins. I don't know about all-in anymore. And the Nats. I am in on the Nats. Wizards next with the Knicks. Being so bad. No, I'm not going to jump ship. I'm still sticking with the Knicks. And I haven't, it's not like I'm not a Yankee fan. I've just kind of a little smitten with the Nats this year. I'm rooting for the Nats to get to have a deep playoff run. But you know, that could all end tonight with Walker Buehler.
I think it's going to end tonight. But I've been saying that for 2 days.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, they're home. They've been the better team. They were better in the regular season. Hopefully we get a great game. Which would be fun to watch. But to answer your question, Josh, I'm not all in on the Wizards. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every single day. And the Philadelphia Flyers have done something interesting because they're transforming a little bit the Wells Fargo Center. And what I mean by that is they now have a rage room where fans can go in and break stuff down in Philadelphia. they won't have to take out their frustration by throwing, wristbands onto the ice. They can simply take swings at a television, shatter some glass instead, and not have to clean it up. It will officially be dubbed the disassembly room and is described as such in the release. The concept is definitely one of a kind and non-traditional. I would say that's true. We ran the concept by some of our fans who told us they thought this would be a fresh way to have some harmless fun. I've never heard of a rage room being before the design team pitched the idea. Now I can't wait to get in there and take a few whacks. This is Valerie Camello, Flyers and Wells Fargo Center President of Business Operations. The rage room style space allows fans and guests a stress relieving outlet amid all of the game action. Through scheduled sessions, they can be reserved in advance. Participants wearing protective gear can smash, break, and unleash their rage upon everyday items like televisions and dishes using bats, sledgehammers, and more. Some of the items that can be disassembled might even bear the logo of the opposing team.
I think it's a good idea. I think every team should have this.
It's different.
Except the Patriots and the Yankees. They used to win it. Everybody else should have it. Mets,
yeah.
Bills, Jets. I mean, there's a bunch. That should have.
Pete was saying we should have one here.
Well, yeah. I have a few lines on that. I think very funny. Mark Chernoff's office is pretty big. We could use that.
You can't go in here.
Imagine walking in and, here's the one thing I would looking at it. I'd want a room where I don't have to reserve space because I might want to go in after the second period after the Flyers give up 3 goals in the second period and let out a little frustration. Say I have that time and I'm not able to go to the disassembly room, Taz, or the rage room because that time's already been booked by somebody else. And then I book a time for the rage room, and the Flyers are winning the game 6-1. Yeah. But I've got nothing to rage about. I'm not angry at that time. I'm celebrating. I'm happy. I'm ecstatic. Now, I have to have some vent-out frustration maybe about some other things that I could take some, a television or a mirror or glass, what have you. But I also feel bad for the poor souls that have to clean that place up.
Yeah, that's true. We could hire a whole staff for that. I mean, yes. The guys that came in earlier to pick up after Boomer spilled his coffee, they could come in and do it. Maybe that's why they were here, Pete, when we saw him.
They just left.
Yes. Yeah.
A lot of coffee.
Boomer's got a rage room in the back.
Oh, he don't need a rage room. Everything's rainbows and butterflies. Yeah. It's Boomer Esiason. Kidding me?
This is Boomer Esiason.
Now, do you think other teams will do this? Or do you think this is Flyers specific?
I do think other teams will do it.
You do?
It's a great idea. Why wouldn't they? It's awesome.
See,
it's a very Philadelphia thing.
Yeah,
though,
yeah, that's what my point that, yeah. being. Do you think, you know, could you see the L.A. Kings unveiling a rage room?
No, probably not.
That's well, you know, the Winnipeg Jets?
Probably not.
Right, James Dolan, the Rangers. I think it's, you know, Philadelphia's tough. They're harsh. The fans are very, very tough. I think it works perfectly for the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah.
Well, down at the Wells Fargo Center. So they've got themselves a rage room. And we'll see how that works out here moving forward. Different, kind of being ahead of the curve a little bit, and certainly an intriguing idea. All right, here we go, the undercard.
Taz and the Moose present the undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, Michael.
All right, let's see here. Candystore.com did a survey of 40,000 people and found this candy to be America's least favorite on Halloween. Which candy do you think it is?
Almond Joy.
Incorrect.
That parents don't say it again?
All right.
40,000 people.
I was doing something else 40, for the show.
40,000 people surveyed. 40,000 people surveyed.
Hold on. Because I'm going to lose my mind here. There's been a problem here for two friggin' years. That if someone doesn't have their undivided attention on everything that's happening in the show while we're multitasking, all of us multitask, we're doing a morning drive show. We're all multitasking, wearing multiple hats. So if I don't hear every single word that one man on this show says, it is not a catastrophic thing. Mike, please repeat the prompts of your question.
Candystore.com did a survey of 40,000 people and found this candy to be America's least favorite on Halloween. Which candy do you think it is?
Skittles.
Incorrect. I was surprised by this. It's the candy corn.
Oh.
A lot of sugar. Well, it's all sugar, but, you know. Terrible.
I'm not, you know, it's not up there. It's
I
not,
I like, you don't like candy corn? I like candy corn.
No, I'm saying it's not up there as one of my least favorite.
You like candy corn?
I don't mind it. My kids love it. They love candy corn. I used to like it probably more when I was a kid than I do now. I haven't had, maybe I had a couple last year after my kids went trick-or-treating. It's not something I'd go, you know, at the grocery store and around Halloween pick up candy corn. It's all over the place now. It's not like I'm getting a bag. You know what I mean, Taz?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I know, listen, it's very, there's so many different candies you can go. I mentioned my least favorite chocolate bar is Almond Joy. I hate Almond Joy. That does nothing for me.
It's funny. I actually like Almond Joy. I mean, I don't love it, but it's funny. I have a protein bar on the way home that is a healthy version of an Almond Joy.
A coconut flavored chocolate?
Coconut with almonds in it.
Okay.
With carob chocolate instead of regular chocolate.
You know what candy bar I used to love that's obviously not very popular? I used to love the Whatchamacallit.
Oh, that was great.
Whatchamacallit's great. It's not a very popular candy
bar.
But and you don't find it all over the place. But if you've ever tried it, I used to love a Whatchamacallit. I haven't had it probably in about 10 or 12 years, but yeah. Whatchamacallit was always a solid candy bar growing up.
Love it. I'm a heavy duty Reese's peanut butter cup guy.
Oh, those are great. What about a candy bar though?
Oh, you don't look at it as a candy bar? Reese's peanut butter cup?
No, that's not a candy bar. It's a peanut butter cup.
Well, it's in the candy section.
Candy that's in a bar form.
You go to a gas station and you're gonna.
I know it's in the candy section.
Right next to everything.
Yes.
So what's your question? I'm paying attention this time. What's your question?
Favorite candy bar.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
There you go.
All right, so you're saying because it's not a bar. It's
Snickers.
Let me answer the question, please. You don't have to go.
I was giving you varieties. Well. I was giving some examples of candy bars.
Unfortunately, I know candy too well.
Yes.
I wish I didn't. I love Snickers. Okay, I'll give you the best of both worlds because I actually do love them. The Snickers gimmick with the peanut butter in it. There you go.
Oh.
Does that work for you, Moose?
Well, it's a candy bar.
All right.
If I asked you for your favorite chocolate snack and you said Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, that would work.
So now we're putting Reese's Peanut Butter Cup in the of a snack?
Well, it's not a bar.
Why is it in the candy section? I guess. Okay, what if I said a payday bar? That's a bar.
Yes.
The word bar is in the name.
Yeah, Baby Ruth.
I had a bad experience with Baby Ruth.
Is that not a candy bar?
Can I tell you my experience?
Yeah, but is that a candy bar?
It is a candy bar. You're correct.
Thank you. What's your experience with Baby Ruth?
My dad, years ago, when I was a kid, he worked in vending. So a lot of times he would bring home, like for us, we'd have boxes of candy. Somehow they fell off the back of his van. And we'd have boxes of soda that would end up in our garage. like cases, dude. Like, I'm talking a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know where he got this stuff. He just said, I'd had extra. And she's telling me all the time, Dad, where you getting this? I'd had extra. Extra. I got 6,000 baby roots in my room. But you nice. Probably don't let no one see them. You know what I mean? So, we had extra. So, anyway, I'm 6 years old. I'm pounding Canada Dry seltzer. You got to drink them up before they know we got them. We had, all right, anyway. So, I get this baby Ruth. I opened it up. I was a young kid. There was a roach in it.
Ugh. It fresh got, candy bar.
It got in the, I guess he was getting the leftover. I don't know what he was getting, the old candy. I'm like, my mother got mad
could
at him.
Could have sued him.
My dad?
Yeah.
I should have sued my dad?
No, oh. The maker. You oh, open up a wrapper, and there's a candy bar. It's got a roach in the candy bar.
Well, let me give you the backstory.
It's a lawsuit.
He used to want, you're right. But back in the 1977, bro, nobody gave a rat's ass about lawsuits.
I know.
It was hardcore. You know
yes,
how it was in New York City,
it.
Bro. You know, bro. So here's protein. The thing. My Cherry dad, chest. So one of the stops he used to make was in was at a hospital with a vending.
Yeah.
In a little area of Brooklyn that you'll be familiar with called Bedford-Stuyvesant.
Yeah.
So at that time, Bed-Stuy was a little rough.
Yeah, not a great area.
And I think there was maybe a lot of roaches running around the concession area of the hospital.
I'm sure there were.
But it got into the wrapper, and since then, all kidding aside, I've never touched a baby Ruth.
I wouldn't
again.
Touch a baby Ruth either. Yeah, that's never disgusting.
Again. So
I agree with you, Taz. I'd swear off baby Ruth the rest of my life. That's
unbelievable.
Was the roach? The roach was obviously dead.
It was dead.
Right? Yeah.
And I didn't know. I thought it was an ant. My mother goes, "That's not an ant. Put it out!" Yeah. She's screaming at me. I'm like, oh my God! I was terrified. Thanks for believing. My mother sometimes a little dramatic. You know what I mean? A little intense.
All right, next.
Did I tell you that I was in the bathroom with Barry Trotz?
You did earlier in the show. The New York Giants are going to be without everybody offensively for Thursday night. No Wayne Gallman. No Sterling Shepard. We know about Saquon Barkley as well, and
Ingram's
also Evan
out.
Ingram. Would it be smart for the Giants just to play Eli Manning because he has such success versus the Patriots?
No.
Yeah, I agree. No. Totally agree.
No.
Yeah, no.
Wait, this is the Eli's going to be like, pound salt. What are you, throwing me to the wolves? As I mentioned before, the weather forecast is 25-mile-an-hour winds and heavy rain. Now, that could change, obviously, but that's the weather forecast. I've got no offensive weapons. Hey, Eli, start this game. No.
See, the wind will actually take his sputtering ball and make it actually direct. The wind will help him.
Oh, boy. Should be coaching football, Mike.
Off
next.
The line.
We're all overpaid.
Not here.
Thanks, Pete. Bogus mentioned this in his update. He said if he was in an NBA game for a full season, he could hit a three-pointer. Unlike Ben Simmons has done for the previous couple of years, do you think if you were a NBA player and play a full regular season of NBA games and, let's say, got 10 to 12 minutes a night, you could hit a three?
Yes.
Oh, wait. No, I don't think I can. I'm not. I don't think I could. No. How long do you have to play?
You get 10 to 12 minutes a night. You're playing 80 games.
80 games. In 800 minutes of basketball over the course of a year, could you hit a three?
A lot of garbage time, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a lot of time. Yeah, I guess I could.
Yeah, I could hit a three. I could shoot. I mean, I could shoot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, so. But, yeah, I could hit a three. Now, obviously, hopefully I'm not being guarded by a guy that's 6'8". Well, but if I'm able to throw it
under his legs.
Yeah, exactly. Under the armpit. Right. Bounce it off the top of the backboard and in. Right.
I know. Right.
Yeah, make it an ESPN highlight for the rest of your life.
That's true. At some point,
that's
very true.
Exactly. Right. At some point, I'd believe I'd get some sort of a look. Or at least a couple. I think I could hit a three. Yeah. It's amazing that Ben Simmons it's amazing that all this time over 4 years, and maybe it's changed as that he has not been able to develop that outside shot. We'll see. Maybe it's changed here for the upcoming 76ers. He's going to need to be able to do something from the outside.
Well, Lord knows he had enough time to work on it,
yes.
So we shall see.
Yeah.
You know?
Good show, Taz. Enjoyed it. Steve Phillips for joining us earlier on in the program. Mike Pete across the way, Bogus with your updates. We appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. All the baseball. We'll be back tomorrow to react. And enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Till tomorrow, everybody. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.